All right, this past week, I turned 55 years old. Woo! Praise the Lord. I am excited about that. Yeah, there's all sorts of discounts you get when you turn 55. It's pretty cool. A lot of benefits, so I'm real excited about that. I've been told that I don't look a day over 54, so that's cool. Like I said, there's a lot of benefits to turning 55. One of my daughters, who will remain nameless, gave me a list of different things that come with turning 55. A lot of perks. And I want to read off a few of those to you. A lot of fun. One is that no one expects you to run anywhere. Another thing that happens when you turn 55 is you enjoy hearing about other people's operations. Let's see. Here's a third one. You quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks into the room. That's not true. Okay. I love this one. Kidnappers are not very interested in you. Here's number five. In a hostage situation, you are likely to be released first. Yes, that's good. Okay, number six, there is nothing left to learn the hard way. Wow, okay, nothing left to learn the hard way. Okay, number seven, your investment in health insurance is finally beginning to pay off. Number eight, your secrets are safe with your friends because they can't remember them either. That's just cold. All right. Number nine. Your supply of brain cells is finally down to a manageable size. Oh, and number 10, lastly, things you buy now won't wear out. Oh, man, that's cold. All right. So I have my own things that I like about turning 55. One is that your children are old enough to pay for their own stuff. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, my perspective on birthdays is, it just gives us an opportunity to celebrate life, but it also gives us an annual reminder that we're just 1 year closer to seeing Jesus. Amen? And that's a cool perspective I think I want to continue to hold on to, is that we don't have to fear getting older. You know, age is something that is people say it's just a number, but, in the Bible times, age was looked at as synonymous with wisdom. And hopefully I'm continuing to grow in wisdom. And hopefully as I get closer and closer to that day when I will be with the Lord, it'll be a day to just look forward to. A day that, it's not something that we have to fret about or worry about. We don't necessarily enjoy the thought of death, but definitely it's knowing that we can look beyond death to that day we'll be with the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. It's a perspective that is unique for us as believers in Christ. Last week, we were in the first part of John chapter 14, and now we're going to be in the second part of John chapter 14. But I wanted to review a little bit from last week, because last week's lessons, they kind of dovetail right into this week's. So last week was the first part, and we talked about having God's peace because we're trusting in Him during times of trouble. And we could trust in Him because He said that amazing thing that He's going to prepare a place for us. And when we think about that He's going to prepare a place for us, that gives us great hope, and He's dealt with the ultimate issue of life, and that is death. And if we know that, if we are secure in where we're at with the Lord, and that He is going to prepare a place for us so that we would be with Him in eternity, that's a great comfort. And so we could face anything this world has to offer because we know the ultimate issue has been settled. He also told us in John chapter 14 that we would be doing what Jesus was doing. And what was Jesus doing? Well, Jesus was healing the sick. He was delivering those who were oppressed. He was preaching the gospel. He was making disciples. And as we do those things that Jesus was doing, we could begin to move forward in faith, knowing that he's going to hear our prayers. What was the key to answered prayer? The key to answered prayer is to pray in Jesus' name. And praying in Jesus' name means that our prayers are right in alignment with Jesus' heart, his heart for people. It's consistent with his character and his purposes and his will. And so when we're doing the things that Jesus did, then we know that we're aligning ourselves and we could have this sort of expectation of God answering our prayers. So we're encouraged from last week to move from that place of a troubled heart to a place of a trusting heart, no matter what we're facing, because God has us. And we're also encouraged to move forward while we still have life on this earth to be about what Jesus was doing and anticipating answers to prayers. It's a beautiful thing. Well, this week's message is the second half. Whoa, the lights went out. Cool. All right. So this week's message is going to speak to us about a couple keys to greater intimacy with God and greater revelation from God. Greater intimacy with God and greater revelation from God. And so I want to invite us to stand as we read God's word. We're in John chapter 14. Starting from verse 15 all the way to 31. This is what God's word says. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." Go ahead and have a seat. Jesus begins by saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. He connects these two ideas of love and obedience. In fact, when you think about it, it doesn't make any sense for us to proclaim with our lips that we love God when we move out and not obey him. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus says, no, there's a connection there. You love me. Those who love me will obey me. Those who love me will obey me. The substance of our love is not emotionalism. It's not sentimentality. True love will always result in obedience to what our Lord desires. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's some sort of robotic obedience devoid of affection, what I am suggesting is that our affection for God should result in obedience. True affection results in obedience. And so Jesus is going to take this theme of obedience and he's going to sort of weave that now through the rest of this passage. He says in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Jesus says that he's going to show himself to those who love him and who are obedient to him. This is a key to greater revelation. That God, just like in our other relationships, as you draw closer to someone, they're more inclined to reveal more of themselves to you, right? That's why in a husband and wife relationship, the husband knows the wife better than anybody else, and the wife knows a husband better than anybody else. At least that's how it should be. Because intimacy, that closeness, that love engenders an openness. The Lord gives greater revelation. He wants to show himself to those who love him. This is a key to greater revelation. This is also why the Holy Spirit is so essential. It says in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is called both a counselor and the Spirit of Truth. Now, that counselor, parakletos, it's a word that's kind of hard to translate. So in some Bibles, it will be translated counselor. In some Bibles, it's translated advocate, and in some other Bibles, it's translated helper. And each one of those gives a nuance to the word that helps us to understand it a little bit better. When we think of counselor, it sort of carries with it the idea a little bit more of an attorney, someone who comes alongside of you to help you out. That's why they also use the word helper, okay? It's not so much the camp counselor type of understanding, but it's more the counselor who would advocate for you. And when we think of someone who is a helper, we shouldn't mistake that to mean he's here to help us with our agenda. That's not what it means. He's here to help us in our weakness because we need him, okay? So the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to be given to them. See, they had not received the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit at this time yet because he had not ascended yet. But the Holy Spirit would come at the day of Pentecost. And it was essential that the disciples receive the Holy Spirit at that time. And part of it is that he would not only be with them, but he would be in them. It's a beautiful thought that he would now not just be among them, working in powerful ways, because the Holy Spirit was working in powerful ways through their lives, but there wasn't that indwelling, permanent ministry of the Holy Spirit yet at that time. So the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. And part of the whole revelatory nature of the Holy Spirit is to reveal truth to us. And that sort of flies in the face of our current culture today, which often bristles against the idea that there is absolute truth. You may hear someone say, well, that's true for you. And what they're saying is, that's true for you, but that's not true for me. In other words, they're thinking, that makes you feel good. That's great for you. But hey, it doesn't work for me. Therefore, it's not true for me. Well, that just flies in the face of what Scripture teaches. It flies in the face of who the Holy Spirit is and what he has called in our lives to do. He is the revealer of truth. He leads us into truth. There is truth, absolute truth, that he calls us into. So just as Jesus, he spoke the truth, and he embodied the truth, the Holy Spirit would now take up that mantle because Jesus was going to leave. The Holy Spirit now was needed. And that's why it says that God would provide another counselor, because Jesus had played that role in their lives. Everything Jesus did and taught was true. Now he was going to go away, and so the Holy Spirit now would come and take up that mantle and lead them into truth. So as we love God, as we obey him, it says that he wants to make himself known to us. He reveals himself to us. I love it when I hear when people are opening and getting into the Word of God, and they're receiving new truth from the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, it says, and so it's amazing when you take the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and he then imparts something into you. The Word of God becomes alive. As you grow in your affection and love for the Lord, your love for the Word will increase, and he'll begin to show you things that you've never seen before. I'm still learning things about the Word. I'm still gaining new insight from the Word of God. It's so fun to be in the Word and to see something that you've never seen before. And you go, wow, that's a truth that now I could hold on to. It's a truth that I could start, continue to build my life around. I love that. And some of you know what I'm talking about as you get into the Word. You're hungry for God. And he just seems to speak to you through the Word of God. And it seems like the circumstances of your life seem to connect exactly with the Word that you're reading that day. That happens so often when there's a love for God, this growing love for him. He's revealing more of himself to you. During our Freedom in Christ conference, the Lord oftentimes reveals things to folks, things that have been keeping them in bondage. And God will reveal, oftentimes through intercessors, some things that are keys to unlocking those strongholds. And it's just a wonderful thing. It's not about exposing all of our sin, you know, in a public way. That's not what it's about. It's about God ministering in a very deep way into people's lives through intercessors, because he wants to reveal certain things that are keeping people locked up and in bondage. And we've seen how what God does is that as he does that and ministers to people in this way, they be now have a lightness about them. They're free from the shackles that have weighed them down, that have encumbered them. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what we hope to see again when we do our Freedom in Christ conference coming up at the end of this month. If you haven't signed up for that, I encourage you to do so. If you feel like your spouse needs to sign up, I encourage you to encourage them to do so. Sometimes you might see your own children needing to go through something like that. And in the past, we've encouraged our kids to go through that conference as well. So we just want to encourage you, because God has so much for us. He has so much for us. He wants to reveal and bring to light certain things so that we could live in a way that's more full, the fullness of God in our lives. That's his heart for us. In verse 23 of the 14th chapter of John, God just showed me this week. I was so excited. He says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Make our home with him. I hadn't seen this connection before, but I don't know why I hadn't seen it before, but I hadn't seen it before. Remember last week in John chapter 14, the first part of John chapter 14? Jesus talked about going away and preparing a place, right? He was going to go away, and in his Father's house, there are many rooms, right?
And he's going to prepare a place for them.
Well, the word for room that was in the earlier portion of John 14 is the same word that he uses now for the place he wants to take up in our hearts. And I started to think about that. Isn't that interesting? That if we have something to look forward to. When we die, we know that we will be with the Father in his house because Jesus has prepared a room for us there. And now he's saying he wants to prepare a room in our hearts for him right now. That there's a place for him through the Holy Spirit to make his dwelling with us right now. We don't have to wait until we die to have that closeness with God. There's an intimacy with God that he wants right now. He's made that available to us through the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit. The whole idea is that there is a dwelling place. We could look forward to it for eternity, but we could enjoy it now in our own selves. That his Spirit dwells within each of us believers. And that just tells me God really wants to be with his people. God loves to be with his people. Let's stop and think about that for a moment, because sometimes we could just run right over certain truths and we don't allow it to sink in very deeply, but it's good for us to pause at times and to really think about that, that God wants to dwell in us and he is dwelling in us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you right now. Like I said, this past week we were celebrating my birthday, and Rita and I, we went out to lunch this past Wednesday. You know, and often when you celebrate someone's birthday, there's just this conscious awareness, right, that we live in. Oh, it's so-and-so's birthday, conscious awareness. And so we treat them extra special, extra nice, right? It's like when they ask for something, it's great. You know, so you know, you could ask for something and people are more than willing to do that for you because it's your birthday. And then no one argues with you, right? Like no one wants to pick a fight with you on your birthday. It's such a special thing, right? That we go, oh, it's your birthday. And I remember that evening there was this party at the ministry center and at our prayer meeting, and they surprised me. And then, you know, I was starting to do the dishes, right? And then a couple of them said, no, you don't need to do the dishes, right? It's your birthday. Well, I started thinking about that, how we could live in this awareness, this heightened awareness, that we have someone living inside of us. And wouldn't it be cool if moment by moment, day by day, there was more of this awareness that the Holy Spirit is living in us. Just an awareness. Just this sense of, wow, God's living in me. I wonder what he wants. I wonder what he's saying. I wonder what he wants to do today. Lord, I just want to be available to you. And I want to start to see, go into every situation with this awareness that you're with me. I don't want to offend you because the Holy Spirit, it says, can be grieved. And so I don't want to do anything that's going to grieve you. The way I treat my coworker in this situation, in this very intense, you know, meeting, I want to honor you in this way because you're here. You are here in me. Just having this greater awareness, I think, could make the world of difference. What a tremendous honor God has bestowed on each one of us, that he would make his abode, his dwelling inside of us. That's amazing. Some writer once said, you've never seen just a normal human being when you come across a Christian, because, wow, they are hosting the presence of God. I wonder how that would change our interactions with one another if we had in our mind, wow, that person is hosting
the very presence of God. How much more would we honor them? How much more would we just, yeah, treat them with such dignity and respect? It's amazing. This closeness, this intimacy that God wants for us and that hopefully we want with him is so cool, so beautiful. We need to be careful that we never make the mistake in thinking that God is primarily wanting us to work for him. Jesus elevated his disciples from primarily seeing themselves as servants to that place of friendship. When I think of friendship versus servants, well, the scriptures tell us that a servant doesn't know what his master's doing, his business, but a friend knows. There's an intimacy amongst friends. There's a revealing. There's a closeness that God loves to show himself more to his friends than he would to just merely his servants. So when Jesus said that he would make his home inside of us, this is just a beautiful expression of his heart for us to be close to him. He says in verse 25, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." See, if we stay in tune with the Holy Spirit, he'll continue to teach us, show us new things, remind us of things, lead us into things. But we have to stay in tune with them. Pastor Dwayne, he shared a beautiful story with us a few months ago. And by the way, pray for him. I think that he's dealing with strep throat right now. So remember to pray for him. But he shared about how one day he was driving along and he just felt the Holy Spirit just whisper to him, "Go to that Starbucks." He wasn't planning on going to that Starbucks. But he felt like the Lord was telling him, "Go to that Starbucks." And so he went to the Starbucks, and what he found there was a gal who was working at that Starbucks who from time to time would drop into the youth group. And he stopped by there, and she was only working at this particular Starbucks, I think, in this two-week window of time. And it just so happened that when he stopped by into that Starbucks, that it was this window, it was right during her lunchtime. And so when he got in there, she was going to take lunch so they could actually sit down and talk. And as they sat down and talked, she began to open up and share with him. She had not yet made a faith commitment to Christ, and she had been off and on coming to youth group. And so they were able to connect there. Fast forward another month or so, and we just opened up the ministry center, and we were having our very first event there, and it was our normal life focused fellowship. They were kicking off the new year there, and this gal shows up. And then that night, her and Pastor Dwayne get into another conversation, and as it turns out, she gives her life to Jesus. And it was such a beautiful story because it began with him driving and being in tune with the Spirit of God. He told him just to stop there. And he didn't know why. It wasn't part of his plan. It wasn't part of his routine. But he just sensed that that's what God wanted him to do. There weren't any guarantees. There wasn't a laid out plan, and God said, "Hey, there's this girl that I want you to meet there, and you're going to end up leading her to Christ." It was just go there. And he was obedient to that. And out of that obedience came conversation, and out of that conversation came faith. We need to stay in tune. We need to listen. We need to be aware of the Holy Spirit in us and that he wants to communicate with us and he wants to show us things and reveal things to us. And I tell you, if we don't, we will miss out. If we don't, we will have lives less than what God intends for us. I don't want to live a life of less than. I don't want to live a life that settles for something less than all that God would have for us. How about you? Do you realize the potential that you have because God is living inside of you? Just think about that. The potential that you have because God Himself, the Creator, lives in you. You have the opportunity to change the entire landscape and environment of your home, of your workplace, of the places you frequent socially, just because you are hosting the Holy Spirit. And that's not being grandiose, because it's really not about you. It's about God living in you. It's amazing. When we went to that Power and Love conference, one of the testimonies of one of the people that's part of that ministry was this woman who... She has an amazing testimony of just all sorts of different ailments and how her life was a wreck and God just healed her of various debilitating things. And that in itself was amazing, just to hear her testimony of God's healing in her life. But what was truly incredible was she shared about going and just sensing that, you know, God wanted her to be involved in prayer ministry. And she went to her church, and her church didn't allow her to be involved in their prayer ministry. So the Lord just said, no, you have a prayer ministry at Walmart. So, she didn't really enjoy shopping at Walmart, she said, but that's where she went. She went to Walmart, and as she went to Walmart, what she did was she just started to, approach people that she saw that may look like they needed, a touch from the Lord. And it was pretty incredible that, God would just use her and people were being healed like crazy. And one day she went into Walmart and she went to the customer service line. And as she was standing in the customer service line, the security person came up to her and tapped her on the shoulder and said he wanted to speak to her. And she thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. And he said to her, we have videotape of you praying for all these people. And we have all these canes and walkers in the back room because people have left them because you've healed them. And then she ended up praying for that security guard, and he turned his life over to the Lord. And one of the things that he said is, he said, ever since you've been coming in here, everything's changed in this store. And that was really what got me. He said the whole environment has changed. And I thought, wow, there's this one woman, this short little woman, nondescript, but she goes in and she just begins to love on people. And the whole atmosphere of that store over time began to change. You can make a difference. When you love Jesus and you commit yourself to being obedient to Him and you walk in the truth that He is living inside of you through His Holy Spirit, wow. Those are the type of things, the elements that make for a very fruitful and powerful life. Will you do that? Will your life be marked in that way? Before I close, I want to quickly address something in verse 28 that may cause some confusion for folks. In verse 28, it says, "You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." And people have wondered, and sometimes people have gone off in terms of in the direction of heresy by denying Jesus' deity. And they look at this passage and they say, see, Jesus is saying that he's not equal with God. That's not what he's saying at all. He just simply said that the Father is greater than I. And he's not talking about his essence. He's talking about the fact that in the economy of the Trinity, the Son submitted himself to the Father's will. There are some commentators who also think that what Jesus was saying is that if you love me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father. Why? It's because, see, when he was with the Father, Jesus, his full glory was revealed in heaven. He was known for who he was. He was God. The only place that God isn't recognized as being, or that Jesus is not being recognized as God, is here on earth. So when Jesus says, "You would be glad for me," that means that if we really cared and loved Jesus, we would love the fact that he would be seen for who he truly is. And when he goes back to the Father, he'd be going back to heaven, he would be seen for as he truly is. The Father is greater than I does not take away from Jesus' deity in any way. He is equal with the Father in essence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as I close, I want to go back to intimacy and revelation. I want to invite the worship team to come on up, and as we just wrap this up, I want us to think about that, intimacy and revelation. I guess the first question is, do you love God? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Do we really love God? Because that's what it's all about. That's the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, when Jesus says, if you love me, you would obey me, that should strike a chord in our heart. That should cause us to ask ourselves, Lord, am I loving you? And then we should also then move, hopefully, to that place of understanding that says, when we love God, there is a special sort of relationship we have with him where he wants to reveal more of himself to us. And so we could look forward with anticipation. We could have a sense of expectancy that God is going to reveal more of himself. If you're frustrated with that, if you're saying, man, I read my Bible and I don't get anything, I want to just ask you something. Is your heart's affection toward the Lord? Do you really love him? God will show himself. I know it. I've seen it in my life, in those around me. And his word will come alive. He loves to reveal himself. And then for us to walk that out day by day with this greater awareness that the Holy Spirit's living in us, that we would not want to offend him, but instead we would want to bring a smile to his face. And so every situation we find ourselves in, even right now, like right now, we have this opportunity. So how are we going to interact even after the service is done and we're just milling around? Sometimes Rita will say, yeah, the Lord put so-and-so on my heart today. And so she'll just engage with them. And sure enough, there's an opportunity to speak something into that person's life, to pray for them in some ways. And I want to tell you that that happens so frequently. And that could happen for all of us. We just want to be in tune and ask, God, is there somebody right now that you want me to connect with? It's a simple question. And I just think God will put someone, a face in your mind, a name maybe. And I think as we live out this way, not just here, but in the workplace, in our homes, we're just going to see a rise. We're just going to see something elevated where God is going to become even more and more present and real, and we're going to see more of his activity. I believe it. I'm going to invite us to stand right now. You want to respond in receiving prayer. We have prayer intercessors on the side. They can pray for you. If you have any need whatsoever, then please come up and receive prayer, especially for those of you, I think that maybe there could be some people here that are experiencing headaches and some feet problem. If you have some of those, then especially come up for prayer. But whatever your need is, please feel free to come up. And if you want to respond by giving your tithes and offerings too, that's a great way to respond in worship to the Lord. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you went away. Because when you went away, you sent the counselor, the advocate, the helper, the spirit of truth. You gave us this wonderful provision of the Holy Spirit to live in us and dwell in us. And God, thank you so much that it's about intimacy with you. You want to be close to us. You want to show yourself to us. Thank you, Lord. What a great opportunity we have to draw close to you, to be used by you, to make a difference, to change the whole environment of wherever we're at. Thank you, Lord. Bless us to go in faith now, to live obedient lives to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.